Oh, hey, everyone. You just pressed play on episode 7 of Jock and Nerd podcast here at jockandnerd.com. Thank you. We're going to talk about all the shows this week, meaning Gotham, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, a couple of trailers, and some other fun stuff. Here's some theme music.
It's the Jock and Nerd podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
I'm very literal today. And here are the hosts. My name's Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And this is episode 7. Thanks for listening, new listeners and long time, all 6-7 episode listeners.
Yeah, long time listeners. Not over a month.
Not no. very long time. But yeah we've hit a month milestone. Yeah. So woohoo.
Woo!
You know what they say? I read these podcast stats that like most podcasts after 6 or 7 episodes, they just go. They go away. They call it pod fading. They just stop.
You think it's because people just get tired? They feel like it becomes work or they get lazy?
I don't know, but it's like marriage. Most divorces happen after 7 years. There's something about that number 7. This is episode 7. Anthony, what do you think? Are we done? Is this it for us?
Well,
this is the end of the Jock and the Nerd.
Where we meet our demise.
Is this the cruel end of the season where our heroes are thrown into the pit? And
the thing is we've been having these discussions for like 5 years now,
right?
Almost 5 years. So
sure.
We've not been tired of having these discussions in my fucking Toyota Camry on the way to Comic Book Wednesday.
Yes.
Then I think we have a good chance of lasting more than 6 or 7.
Talking nerd. I don't think we're going anywhere, folks. Fucking click that subscribe button today.
The only reason I think we might go somewhere else is because while you are the nerd and I am a jock, in name only, or maybe not in name only. I was looking at this thing before we started this podcast. It's called this is recorded in Chicago. I was looking at Chicago's douchebag vortex.
Oh shit.
And I was looking at all the different
wait. It's a douchebag vortex.
So all the places in all the neighborhoods in Chicago where you should go to avoid douchebags.
So these places attract the douchebag.
Right.
They're douchebag attractors. All right.
And I was looking at the neighborhoods, and it's like River North.
Uh-huh.
Lincoln Park. No, not Lincoln Park. Well, Lincoln Park was on a lower scale, but Wrigleyville, mm-hmm. Viagra Triangle, and what's Old Town, Wicker Park, and what's funny about that is I frequent all those neighborhoods. I frequent them all throughout my life.
Oh, you don't say. Oh shit. Why am I not surprised?
I'm 27. When I first graduated college, I'd go out to like Wrigleyville and Lincoln Park.
Sure.
And then maybe like 24, 25, I was going to like Wicker, and now I'm a big River North guy. So I'm always out in the River North.
I'm surprised we hang out with each other.
Doing
because,
bottle
like,
service and spending money to attract women's attention.
Yeah, that's not my scene at all, my friend. That's like, I used to hang out in Wicker Park before it gentrified, when it was dangerous and all the artists lived there.
Yeah.
I would never fucking go to Wrigleyville because those people are assholes sometimes. But yeah, I don't know how we're friends, but
I don't know how either.
So basically, that article is accurate.
That article is
verified.
I would verify that article is accurate by the fact that I'm going to those
verified accurate by an actual jock, people.
An actual D-bag.
Jocking nerd! Yeah, so you could take that to the bank.
Suck it.
Yeah, before we start, also, I want to let everyone know. It's a little bit geeky, but next Saturday, May 2nd, is Free Comic Book Day.
Oh shit!
You can get free comic books. Look, you may love these shows, you may not be in the comic books, but if you're looking for a way to get in and you don't want to pay, visit your local comic book store. Yeah. If you go, I'll put a link in the show notes to the website, jockandnerd.com/7, to the Free Comic Book Day website. You just put in your zip code. And I think it's only in the U.S., so I'm sorry, our British listeners.
Our Japanese listeners.
And around the world. But if you put in your zip code, it'll show you participating stores. And basically what happens, you can go in, you can pick 3 out of a selection. Publishers make special issues for Free Comic Book Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for a couple years. And it's fun.
I didn't know about Free Comic Book Day until I met you.
Right? And if you follow comic books, they reward you more by putting out issues that have revealing things that will happen next year. Like, I think the Marvel one is about Secret Wars, mm-hmm. and it's actually...
I think it's like the first issue or maybe a tease, like a zero.
Yeah, it's like part
of
the storyline.
Yeah,
but there's something for everyone. All ages, kids, independent, big, the big two. And it's free.
99-year-old World War II vets. Yeah.
So go check it out. I like to promote it because I'm like, it's like Christmas for me. And sometimes there's artists there drawing and signing. And I ran into Eric Larson there, who created Seventh Dragon, used to draw Spider-Man. Jabbo, shut up again.
That's Nimrod's dog.
She always wants to be on the show.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's free comic book day, Saturday, May 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Link in the show notes. Check it out, everyone. And we'd love it if you'd send us a voicemail and your comments, thoughts, suggestions.
312-248-4376. That's 312-248-HERO.
Yes, and or send us an email if you don't like to talk at show@jockandnerd.com. You can also email us some audio. You hit a little audio recorder on your phone and jot down your thoughts on our show, or if you have anything to say, and email it over.
Yeah.
We would love to play it on the show. I want feedback. I want to get engaged with people. You can follow us on Twitter.
And Trader Joe's.
You can follow Trader Joe's on Twitter. You can follow Trader Joe's on Twitter. And then you can twirt with the tweeters on Twitter. But for us, it's Jock and Nerdcast.
We simply use Twitter.
We just use the one Twitter.
Yeah.
Not Clamor. Have you heard of Clamor?
No.
That's the whole. It's like a Twitter with audio.
Have you heard of Grindr?
No. Have you?
Never mind.
You got your Tinders, your Clamors, your Twitters. Twitter at Jock and Nerdcast. Sorry, we're losing it. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. This
show notes
show.
At jockandnerd.com/7. Let's get to the news.
Jock and Nerd.
We're at the news now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what do we got? What do we want to talk about first?
Let's talk about the picture that came out from a Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, Jared Leto as the Joker.
Yeah.
This was huge.
This was big.
This thing came out everywhere. I have mixed feelings. I've looked at it and I've read a couple of things. The first obvious comparison I think everyone has already made and said is that it looks like Marilyn Manson.
It does look like Marilyn Manson.
Is that a bad thing, though?
It's not a bad thing. When I first saw it, I went, oh, I like this because it's different. They needed to do something different.
Yeah.
They couldn't do the Heath Ledger fucked up face.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do Jack Nicholson, him being like too pretty. So they went with a tattooed Marilyn Manson lookalike, almost except kind of a little bigger. They went the opposite of subtle, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, if the goal was to be, this is definitely a fresh take on this character.
Yeah, they're going fresh.
So for
sure.
That, I gotta give him props for that.
It's definitely, I mean, you look at it, you go, that's the Joker, but that's something different. Not iconic. We don't know if it's gonna be iconic, but it's good. You look at it and you go, whoa.
Is it like a realistic version? You know, they do a couple of things with the purple like hospital glove. I love that as a little nod to like the purple suit. He's got straight green hair. He's wearing some rings. The tattoos are interesting.
Are very interesting.
Was he in prison? Did he get these tattoos in prison? You know, we can analyze each of these tattoos and discuss them ad nauseum.
The tattoos, I think, are going to be the most divisive part. I like the teeth. Him having the silver teeth was kind of.
You like the teeth? I read about how the people are like, you know, Batman just beat the shit out of him, and this is him filling his teeth. It's like Marilyn Manson meets fucking Lil Wayne or something. I don't know. it's definitely creepy. The look is also reminiscent to Brian Boland's drawing in The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
At the end, and the laughter in the back of that panel is also a version of the ha 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 tattoos.
That,
You know, you can say that this jester maybe is a nod to Harley Quinn or a Joker.
Yeah.
You know, the smile, obviously.
He's got smile written on his ribs, and then he has a smile tattooed on his forearm.
There's a little bird wing, which a lot of people said maybe because of Robin, Robin.
Yeah,
so nod to that. There's some cards, of course.
I think the one tattoo I don't like the most is the damage across the forehead.
You know, and there's a lot of discussion about that.
I'm
wondering if it's just in this promotional image and it's not really in there.
I hope not, because that almost seems very like stupid hipster.
Like this guy made a mistake in prison and really maybe I shouldn't have tattooed damage.
I don't think Joker would tattoo damage.
He would tattoo all these, which could be covered up if you were wearing a suit.
Right. I think the other tattoos would fit. Just him being like emo, I'm damaged.
Well, I'll put a photo of this in the show notes, obviously, folks, so you can click it and take a look. But the J as a teardrop tattoo is a kind of interesting compare. You know, like, you know, the teardrop tattoos, but it's got a J there.
Can you see this? this guy being a foil to Ben Affleck's Batman?
I don't know. Ben's already old. Like, that Bruce is old, and he seems pretty young.
But I think they're going with, like, that they've had a lot of history together.
Like, is he being in the Suicide Squad? He's been in prison,
for a while.
I mean, if they do like what the animated movie did, it's them breaking him out of prison.
Well, he's gonna be like Hannibal Lecter kind of.
Yeah. I don't know. It's if they're going for something different, it's different. I'm excited to see what the rest of them are going to look like.
They nailed different, for sure. They nailed a different look.
If they can stay consistent with this amongst the other characters, like, I can kind of see a Harley Quinn fitting in with this kind of tattooed goth grunge kind of fucking crazy hipster chick combination. It's like a little more realistic take. The smile's great.
Yeah. I mean, this character's going to exist.
The eyebrows always fucking creeps me out, by the way.
This character is going to exist in the DC TV or a movie universe. So if you compare him to like what we've seen in Man of Steel, because that's the only movie we can reference, or the trailer from Dawn of Justice, I mean, he does stand out, and he does look like he could fit in that universe.
Is this the same Chris Nolan Dark Knight universe?
No, not at all.
That is over.
That's over.
This is now the new Man of Steel universe.
Man of Steel.
This exists along with the Man of Steel universe.
Right. So he could, I mean, I don't think they'll ever be on screen together, but you could see he would be in the same shot as like Henry Cavill.
Yeah. No, I mean, it matches that tone. You know, someone else made the comment that fucking Warner Bros. And DC really love fucking tattoos on their people now. If you think about Jason Momoa and Aquaman and this. And I mean, I like it. I like that. I like that prison, the whole idea of him being a prison tattoos. And it's kind of realistic. It's kind of like what.
Although, can you imagine, though?
It's Marilyn Manson, though. Like,
can you imagine, though, the Joker sitting there patiently getting tattooed? He'd be like, get the fuck off me.
He probably loves the pain, though. He's probably getting off on it.
That's true.
I'm surprised he doesn't have more tattoos.
Yeah. So we got that.
That's good. We got a couple of new trailers.
Yeah. We're going to start with the Fantastic Four trailer.
So talk about different.
Yeah.
This is a different take on the first superhero family.
It is a little different. Overall, I thought this trailer obviously was better than the first one. We got a lot more. We got a lot more of what the story is. We got a little bit of character development. We got to see the Thing. We got to see Doom.
Yeah, I got to see some powers.
Got to see powers involved.
More of the tone of the movie.
Yeah, it's very serious.
Yeah. I guess this takes after the Ultimate.
A little bit, yeah.
So the Storm family is black and Sue is adopted.
Yeah, which is what I was expecting.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's like the Ultimate. I mean, it reminds me of like Aliens. It's like a sci-fi horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of love that the Thing looks kind of horrific.
Yeah.
You know, like an accident, like a monster. Like he would scare you if that was your reflection.
The only thing that was weird about the Thing is the actor that's playing him when he's like, if anyone gives you trouble, you know, come to me. The actor that's playing him is probably the smallest out of the four main characters.
Well, but he doesn't,
he doesn't look like a very imposing guy.
Yeah, I mean, they show him swinging the bat and knocking it. That's the only way. I guess he was like the enforcer of the Thing. But he's supposed to be like the big tough guy of the neighborhood.
Right.
But apparently he's a scientist too. That's what I always thought was funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe he's a scientist. Like, maybe he just hangs around the lab.
Are they all scientists?
Michael B. Jordan's character, Human Torch, I don't think he's a scientist either.
They're all supposed to be scientists or something. Hopefully it's got some good humor. It does remind me of Chronicle, and I know it's the same guy's directing it, which is, it's good in a way. It gives it a grounded feel, but then,
we still don't know really a lot about this story though. They've kind of kept it under wraps.
So Doom,
somehow Doom's involved.
However they went through that Thing to get their powers, they must have brought Doom back.
I like who the actor who's playing Doom though, because he's Toby Kebbell.
Who's that?
He, played, the guy in Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He played the bad ape. I forgot.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
He
did the mocap for that. So he was really good in that.
Ooh, so he'll be good as Doom.
He'll be good. I read a lot of rumors that this Doom was like a tech guy, which is really weird.
Well, it looks like he has a cyber, instead of like a mask, it looks like his face is like cybernetically patched, tiled together.
I don't know how he got it. Like maybe it looks like he was involved in the interdimensional travel scene where they get stuck and get their power. So I don't know. That's similar though to how the first Fantastic Four movie came about.
Well, he went with them. So the Thing is this somebody they know that goes with them, or is he this complete other entity that gets? I don't know.
I hope they're able to.
Is Latveria involved? I don't know. I never read the Ultimate Fantastic
Four. Yeah, me neither.
So I don't know how that story
All went. I know is I want Doom to be an awesome character because in the comics he's like one of my favorite villains.
Yeah, Doom is, I mean, in the main continuity universe, he's one of the most formidable evil villains.
Not even
you can
just,
come up
just
with.
Complex, too.
Yeah, just like, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if they do him right, he could be more popular than as a villain than Loki is for Marvel.
I mean, he's always multiple steps ahead of everyone, and it ends up that he actually set all this up.
Right.
And you're fucked.
So I mean, just watching that trailer, I got excited to see the movie, which is the first time ever I've gotten excited about this
movie. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still on the fence, man.
Seeing that trailer, I was like, damn, I wish this was part of the MCU.
Right, you forget. You know, you watch it and you love these characters, and you're like, "This is like the Marvel's first big, you know, super comic book."
That's Marvel's first family.
It's Marvel's first family, and you forget that has nothing to do with over there.
And no Avengers will appear. None of the other characters.
Well, you know, definitely better thing. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll just have to watch and see. All right, what's the next one, Anthony?
Okay, so then Jurassic World also came out.
Yes.
What did you think of that one?
You know what? It was.
Are you a Jurassic Park movie fan?
You know, that first movie, I feel that first movie still holds up.
It's
got great scares. It's a great monster movie in, you know, in the vein of like your Godzillas or King Kongs. And this trailer for this new one was better than I thought. I wasn't expecting all that.
No.
It looks like an awesome monster movie with lots of scares and lots of dudes getting snatched by fucking
dinosaurs
left and right.
There's some twists too.
Oh my God.
It looks like they're using a hybrid dinosaur.
So they made
a new dinosaur
that's bigger than the T-Rex,
bigger and smarter,
and there was two of them, I guess,
and it ate one,
and one ate the sibling.
One thing that kind of scares me though is there that line where they're like they're communicating with one another.
Oh shit.
Or no, that it doesn't scare me, and like
I mean,
I'm scared.
It's cheesy.
It's cheesy if the dinosaurs are actually talking to one another.
Yeah, it would
be weird.
Yeah, it would eventually get there. Well, I mean, they could pull it off with just, you know, they're sensing each other.
I know the third one, they had the velociraptors kind of communicating.
Yeah, and that was fine, like that way. If it was like that, but not like.
But if there's a T-Rex, or in this case, I think, I don't know what it's called.
He's like, hey, Brontosaurus, can you do me a favor?
If he's talking to the other dinosaurs.
Hey, flying guy, swoop around and flank him on the left.
Exactly.
They're not going to talk.
Yeah.
But
like, if they're able to communicate with other dinosaur species, like, that's weird. Like, that'd be like a fucking tiger being able to communicate with a cat.
Like a monkey or something.
Yeah.
Well, and they're one of a kind, the big one that it starts hunting for sport.
Yeah.
I think this is the beginning of Chris Pratt being like the next Harrison Ford. I mean, he already is. He's going to be the guy. Like,
well, he already, I mean, the beginning was Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, you still think he's Star-Lord, but after this performance, I think he'll shake that, and he's going to be like, this guy is like Harrison Ford.
He's everything.
Yeah. He is Star-Lord. He is the Jurassic Park guy.
I think that's the thing with new like leads nowadays. Like,
He's like a throwback to those back in the day guys.
Well, kind of, but those guys were like more serious, like Harrison Ford and like Schwarzenegger and Stallone and all those guys, like they were serious. But now the lead male action heroes are like funny. And they can throw down,
which is why Pratt is perfect. He comes from the comedy background, and then he just gets jacked and learns how to fight, and now it's the perfect combination. I mean, he's great.
That trailer though, I'll definitely see that
the
movie.
Giant fucking fish is great. And it looks like it helps them.
Yeah, might help
and
them.
Snatch one of the pterodactyls out of the air. But yeah, man, it looks like a straight up monster movie.
I am interested to see Pratt rolling around on a motorcycle with velociraptors.
That dude, that looked great. Like he's leading his pack, like he's talking to them, right? Yeah. And he figures out how to talk to them.
Yeah.
And they have a shot of that little ball machine on the park.
That was cool.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. I liked the franchise. They've not disappointed. You know, even like 2 is pretty good. 3 is pretty good. The first one still holds
up. The first
up,
one's the best.
Surprisingly.
The 2 was, I think, disappointing. 3 was kind of weird.
What's the one where the RV and Laura
2.
Dern?
2.
Oh, see, I kind of, and William H. Macy. Yeah. I kind of like that one.
Yeah. 3 was weird, too. That was the one where there was like the Spinosaurus and they had to go back to Jurassic Park to get the kid.
You know what? I may have not seen that one. Maybe that's Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is the number 2. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's number 2.
Yeah.
Who's in the third one?
I think William H. Macy, is he the guy that plays the paleontologist?
That's the third one, yeah, where they go looking for the kid.
Yeah.
All right.
It was entertaining.
I didn't mind that one either.
None of them are as good as the
None
first.
Of them as good as one. This one looks like close, though.
Yeah, hopefully.
Right?
Hopefully it's just not, I mean, it looks like they're adding some twists, so they're not just treading the old ground.
Yeah, the genetically hybrid thing is, you know, that's kind
of
interesting.
And there was the first one had that theme of playing with
playing
nature
God.
Playing God, and no, this is the same they're thing. Doing they're doing it, yeah, it again.
Which is what I like. It reminds me of the first one in a good way.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Let's go on to the shows.
Let's carry on.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Okay, we're going to start.
We're back.
We're going to start with Gotham, or Gotham.
Gotham.
As Kevin Smith likes to say, it makes me chuckle.
Season 1, episode 20, titled Under the Knife.
Under the Knife.
You going to mark? Oh, by the way, so now we're, what we're doing with these shows is if you want to skip to your favorite show in our podcast, just go right to the show notes and just fast forward or move that little ticker right to the time where we talk about the show. We'll have it approximately right around each time.
Yeah, so if you know, because we know not everybody watches every show.
Yeah, they're not like us.
We'll put the time code. Yeah. If you want to listen to the one, you jump to the one. If you want to listen to the second one, you can jump there.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
You're going to miss all the callback jokes, though. You might be confused.
You might be a little confused because we reference things that we talk about.
It's definitely
about
a stream of consciousness thing, people. Yeah. Stick with us.
Yeah.
Or you can just listen and enjoy our fun commentary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, show notes, jockandnerd.com/7.
Yeah.
Gotham season 1, episode 20.
Yep. The first thing I thought of when I wrote it down is
this fucking
why the fuck is I still haven't figured out why the hell Catwoman wears goggles on the top of her head.
Because she looks like a cool, like,
so she looks like a cat,
throwback 1940s.
But they haven't been functional at all yet.
Like one of those bombshell girls from the vintage drawings. It's just a style view to throw us off. You know, I must say, it's just when I think the show is fucking shitty, like, they do something that to some characters that make them a little bit interesting.
What did they do for you that made someone interesting?
Suck me back in again. Well, I don't know.
The Riddler?
Which one? Yeah. No, which one do you want to start with?
No, just talk with, we'll just jump around.
The fucking Enigma storyline was great. I was definitely,
oh, shit.
You know, I didn't see that coming, and it gave our innocent Ed... you know, we start out and he's stabbing watermelons. I mean, he's stabbing watermelons. Mm-hmm. So that should give you some kind of foreshadowing.
Man.
That's you know, and he wants to know what it's like.
Right.
Like if it's like a person.
Right.
And
that was kind of creepy.
It was kind of creepy.
He's been creepy this whole season.
And I've been waiting for him to fucking riddle her out and do something. Jabbo, shut the fuck up. Bad doggy.
That's your dog.
Doggy nerd.
So basically, he figures out that Kringle's been being abused by her douchebag cop boyfriend, and he waits outside, stalks her. Not creepy at all.
No.
Waits outside in his car. And the drunk boyfriend comes up and he confronts him.
And stabs the shit out
of him. And then he fucking, he gets punched once.
Yeah.
And then again, he stabs him once.
Mm-hmm.
It's those concurrent concession stabbings that really determine, are you a serial killer or was this a crime of passion?
Right.
And so he stabs him once and I think he liked it.
Well, the way he plays it, he's like, oh my God. And then he laughs.
He laughs, oh my God. Like almost very Joker-esque, yeah. But he's like, oh my God, what have I done, while he's laughing and continues to repeatedly stab that. And like, I mean, that guy deserved it.
Yeah, the guy definitely deserved
I'm
it. I don't
blame
know.
Him.
I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's lazy for writers to make a villain turn the way they turn because of a girl.
It's always a woman.
It's always a woman, but I feel like that's lazy writing.
We knew that was going to happen. Come on, they were telegraphing this for fucking episodes.
That's Gotham's fucking problem. They telegraph everything. There's nothing subtle about Gotham.
It's a little spoon fed, but
Shit!
First kill for the Riddler.
The thing is, too, is him laughing like that. It was intriguing because it's his character, but it's weird. He's laughing
it's
like Joker.
It's derivative.
Well, it's like Joker.
Yeah,
like it's like,
know.
Can't you not be so lazy and make everyone like a psychopath that laughs at deaths?
Like we've said, the show is all over the place. That's a clear example.
Yeah.
Of it. You know, we get it. He's crazy and he's laughing. I mean, I don't know. I didn't see that coming, but. Good for Joker.
Good for Joker. Good for Riddler.
And then the other character that they actually did something with is someone I hate so much, Mrs. Barbara Keene.
Oh, you liked what they did with her?
I don't know if I liked it.
I'll tell you why I didn't like it.
At least it was something.
She would be the lady to fucking fall for the ogre.
I'm so confused by her.
She would be the fucking lady.
I don't understand what they're doing.
That first scene where she's like he's about to kill her and then he underestimates like what kind of girl she is.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, no one loves me. She's like, no one loves
me. She goes, a bus could hit me and no one would care.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, oh my God.
It turns
me.
I know. It turns him off.
Oh my God.
It actually turns him off.
It turns me off.
He's like, you know what? That's okay. I'm just going to go.
It's like, that's why they Are they purposely writing her to be to suck?
I don't understand. She was all so leading up to that. She was all flirty and like, okay. I was like, that's kind of interesting. She's being fucking slutty, whatever. And then she goes, all woe is me. And I'm thinking, at this point, to him, she's just a victim.
Yeah.
But totally, if she's that's what she wants, like he want, but maybe he wanted to use her.
No, he wanted to kill her. But then he didn't realize that she wasn't with Gordon anymore.
Oh. This is because later he realizes Gordon's after her.
Yeah.
And then he shows up again at the ball.
Right.
Which then it gets more confusing because then he kind of talks her into like going with him.
Oh, and then he talks her into going with him. I just knocked my headphone off.
Yeah, I know. You got excited. It's okay.
But then like this is my problem with the way they were writing her. He convinces her to come back home with him. And then he shows her like his like torture chamber. And instead of being like in horror, she's like slightly intrigued.
Oh shit. I was like, she's turned on.
I'm like, oh my God. What is wrong? Why are they doing this
literally,
to this character?
She turns and smiles and I don't get her at all. This whatever. I was like, she's either brilliant or completely a fucking idiot.
Or she's just the worst written character in the history of television.
I think it's the second one. Like, I think she thinks she's in her little 50 Shades of Grey fantasy there.
Oh, yeah.
I think she wants, she's like, oh, I'm going to get a little spanking, a little whipping. It'll be fine.
Yeah, pull out the bone
saw. She's a fucking idiot. Has no idea what's going to happen. That's why I think, that's what I think she smiled. I mean, I don't think she. She obviously doesn't realize what she's gotten herself into.
Here's another.
God, I hate that character. I didn't understand her.
I'm just going to bash this show. I mean, this episode is but here's another thing that I didn't like. So we're heading towards the finale, right? And this whole season, they've been like building up towards like Penguin's ascension. But mostly, if you're talking about main character, Gordon versus Falcone, right?
Yeah.
And sort of also Bruce Wayne figuring out who killed his parents. But the big conflict is Gordon versus Falcone. In the preview for this next episode, and like they only have two episodes left, they're building towards Gordon versus the ogre for Barbara's life, which is weird because the ogre was just introduced last episode prior to this.
Dude,
like the ogre, who gives a fuck about the ogre?
A fuck about ogre or Barbara?
Right, and who gives a fuck about Barbara?
Just let him have her.
Let him kill her.
I thought it was neat in that beginning where we were in Leslie's apartment and. You know, there was the glass broke and there was the cat, but I felt it was kind of shot like someone was watching.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of vibe. I was like,
it was like a Norman Bates.
Yeah, I was like, that's interesting. Like, plus we got to see her kind of half naked, which was nice.
This
was
okay.
fucking Leslie Tompkins. But man, Barbara's just batshit crazy. It's like too crazy for him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think either of them realize what they've gotten themselves into.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't we build towards Falcone versus Gordon?
Well, but it's really Gordon versus Loeb.
But then that's another. I don't want to see Loeb. I mean,
Loeb's working for Falcone.
Yeah, like and Falcone was the guy that everyone like you wanted to see Gordon go up against.
Well, so but what about the Penguin bit? What Penguin?
Even that.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Penguin's trying to hire a guy to kill Maroney.
Right. I want to see him kill Maroney. That I like.
Yes.
But I was like, I wrote this on. I know the show is getting bad when I can't stand even Maroney threatening Penguin seriously. And I can't take it seriously because the mom is so much of a caricature of like an Eastern European naive woman.
I thought it was a nice touch that Maroney knew how to get to Penguin.
Yeah, to
like
the mom.
He really, he was heartbroken. Like he was fucked up about that.
Well, I just don't like the way she plays her character.
I mean, but that...
She's like an Eastern European gypsy.
Yeah, it's it's very, very, very stereotypical over the top. But that actress kind of, she plays a lot. She was on Taxi.
Oh, really?
Originally, I believe that's the same lady. It's exaggerated, but in this world, it kind of fits.
Everything's exaggerated.
I thought it was, remember he kills the delivery guy?
Oh, yeah, for no reason.
I felt bad for the delivery guy. Like, I think that guy was a delivery guy. Like, I don't think he worked for Falcone.
And how is he going to explain? He's still trying to keep the facade that his mom, that he's not a killer.
But
then
he kills the guy right outside the door.
No, yeah, what about the blood?
He's like, Oswald, who's that? Nothing, mother, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's dragging the dude away. But I just imagine, like, Falcone, you know, used Grubhub to send something over, and the poor delivery guy.
Maroney.
Or Maroney. Like, the poor guy getting up that morning had no idea what
No, that guy,
I felt
that
bad
poor
for
soul.
The fucking. And he didn't get a tip, and then he got fucking stabbed in the throat,
in the neck.
God damn it!
Do you have any? Oh, there was also the storyline with.
There's a little bit about Bruce and
Selena going to the ball and.
Yeah, that was kind of cute.
That was all right.
And they got.
I got another nitpick about that.
All right.
Okay, the kids where they're talking about crossing the line and killing.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation.
I found it cheesy.
A little over the top. I mean, it is reiterating the same thing they said last episode.
I found it to be pretty awful, actually.
Where Selena's like, I'd do it again.
Yeah. I don't. It's just because of the fact that they're kids and they're not the greatest actors and actresses. Yeah. I don't know. I found that
too. He's like, I would never cross the line.
Yeah. He was very like, I don't know. It just
that
sucked.
Kid, you know what? That kid is a good actor. I don't know why everything seems so forced in these last couple episodes.
Yeah.
And I like the Selena, the girl playing Selena.
She's all right.
You know, again, this is like our version of the 60s Batman show. It really is.
Like more, a modernized version of it.
Dives in between the Tim Burton universe. And like, I remember, I think we mentioned before the article about how, is this the 66 Batman show?
Yeah.
And like, it kind of weaves it. And so in that campy sense, some of the shit works.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to bring up during the Gordon storyline where he's looking for the thing and he's like, let's hold a press conference. The cameras in the background, I had to pause and look. Did you notice?
No.
I was like, why the fuck are there mixed decade cameras all over the shot? There was VHS cameras that I actually used to have in the 80s.
Yeah.
There was old school flashy bulb cameras. There was old school broadcast cameras. This, I swear to God, this dude in the back was cranking something.
Oh my God.
Like he had an old crank camera. I swear to God.
You know what I think it is?
I was like, why do they do this? It drives me crazy.
The writers are so like lazy, or like whoever produces it is so lazy. They're like, let's just throw in a bunch of shit to make it look like classic old time.
I think they're doing it on purpose as a joke because
it's
there's
inside
no
joke?
Way. Yes. There's no way you're doing this
they're
by
just laughing.
Accident. It's hilarious.
Everyone's laughing that we put this shit on television.
Like I was like, oh, I used to have that camera in the 80s.
Yeah.
Look at that old flashbulby camera,
oh,
and there's
God.
A dude cranking something like it's 1910.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
The fuck is going on over here? So I don't know. Now it cracks me up.
Yeah.
It used to bother the shit out of me.
Oh, no, it shouldn't bother you at this point.
I think they do it on purpose.
You
and
know,
it's
you
funny.
Know what you're getting into if you're this far into
it's
Gotham.
It's pretty funny, though. So anyways, that, you know, that storyline, they find the ogre's dad, remember?
Right.
And basically, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and they find out that ogre was looking like an ogre and all that
Oh,
shit.
No. That was the big thing is where I thought it was funny where he's like, your son is seducing women.
And he's like,
he goes, what? Yeah. He's ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
Here's a photo. He's like, that's not my son. And like, yeah, he looked kind of like an ogre.
Yeah.
And
then, he looked like the elephant man.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, yeah, it was all, it did. It was like elephantitis to the face. Yeah. And, you know, that doctor at that medical place is holding back and he changed his face. So I don't think they know what he looks like.
No. They
they had that sketch and they're like, oh,
the
and Selena's like, well,
yeah.
At the end, they know that he's with Barbara or he has Barbara, blah, 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 blah.
What did you think of the show?
You know what? It got a little bit, it redeemed itself a little bit from last year. We had
last
a couple,
week?
I mean,
oh shit!
Yeah, I meant last week.
Talking nerd.
It might as well have been last year. It's been a long goddamn week.
Yeah.
But you know, and the Enigma bit was fun, and at least Barbara confused the shit out of me, which is better than what she usually makes me angry.
Usually she makes
me like,
angry.
I'm like, the fuck is? I don't know.
She made me more angry this episode.
All right.
But whatever.
What'd you think? That's it. There it is.
I'm only watching because I have to finish this season, or else I've invested 20 episodes of my life.
It'll be over soon. You're gonna be back in next season.
Well, we'll see. Maybe.
Yeah.
Depends on these last two episodes.
Doc and Nerd.
Doc and Nerd.
Okay, the next show
is Flash.
It's this week's Flash.
Season 1, episode 19. Who is Harrison Wells?
Hey, I've been waiting for this show for a while because that title is... how can you not want to see an episode titled Who is Harrison Wells?
Let's start by saying, though, I just want to bring up the first thing that... I liked about this show, this episode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I watched this episode and I'm like, I'm in love with Laurel. Laurel makes an appearance on this show and just her being on this show and in that environment, she is so much more fun. Well, first off, I mean, she's an attractive lady, but she is so much more fun on this show where
the
she's like,
crossovers are great on these two shows.
But when she's like, I'm the Black Canary. And it's like, oh my God, that's so hot.
I know it was, dude. I agree. Like it was, she didn't have a lot of lines, but I was like, I like this Laurel.
Yeah,
a lot.
I was like, why can't she be like this on Arrow?
And she used to be hateable.
Yeah, now she's great.
And now you're like, dude, Laurel's badass. You feel like she's confident as the canary.
Yeah.
Like she's the canary. And I love that whole scene, Cisco gushing like a little fanboy, and
she's like flirting with him.
Yeah. So and he gives her the Geek boner.
Canary cry.
Yeah.
And he modifies it for her.
And how hilarious is what he gets in return?
A fan photo.
A fucking 8x10 of him with her as if he was at C2E2 or Comic-Con signed, and she's like not smiling, and he has the biggest, geekiest smile.
He is like every comic book nerd ever in a movie.
It's so funny.
He is written, I think, the way they wanted Felicity to be written.
Yeah. I mean, he is every comic book nerd. Like, you can relate with him.
And he looks more like a comic book nerd than Felicity would ever look like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, she's more of the hacker nerd.
Well, I think originally they had planned for her to be like that, like his character, like making, like calling people by their name, like superhero names, and like kind of like not hanging around, like being a little bit more on the periphery.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, she's better than that. We could use her. And then they decided to put that on Cisco instead.
Speaking of names, I like how I think Caitlin got the name this time.
No,
she
really?
Goes, I call him Everyman.
Oh, that's right. When she, the villain.
It's the guy called Everyman or whatever. But
there was also an Easter egg in the beginning where they went to Coast City.
Oh, I love that, dude. Because if you don't know, you should know
Coast City,
the home, fictional home of Hal Jordan, none other than the Green Lantern.
Green Lantern, yeah.
One of the three, you know, four big cities in the DC universe.
Was it Coast City?
Starling City, Central City,
Gotham City, Metropolis.
Well, five, Metropolis, where unlike Marvel, it's just real
cities. Yeah, where DC makes up.
I've always loved about DC because I think you can have more fun that way.
It gets weird though because they have these real cities, these made up cities, but then they acknowledge the real cities too. Like Nightwing is currently in Chicago.
Oh, that's true.
So it's
which
weird.
Is like I always thought. So there's a New York and a Chicago and a Gotham. Gotham is a combination of New York.
Well, Gotham
and Chicago.
is like the bad side of New York City.
Where the fuck geographically is Gotham then?
And then Metropolis is like Manhattan. Analogies. Why? Analogy.
Okay, but where are they?
I don't know.
Who knows? Where is Metropolis?
Who knows?
Has anybody ever asked that? We should look that up.
Yeah. Somewhere in the
If someone could look that up and send us an email at show@jockandnerd.com. Where exactly are these cities?
Yeah.
Anyways.
What did you think of this episode?
You know what? There's some great oh shit moments. Again, this show has the ability to grab you and hold on to you and make you want to see the next episode. And they did it again. Like, and how about the most badass Iris we're probably ever going to see?
What happened again?
We saw at the end of this episode when Barry finally corners the shapeshifter and he goes through everyone. He fights Caitlin.
Oh, that's right.
And he fights Iris. And Iris, she actually gets him pretty good. Yeah. Like, she's kicking the shit. I was like, that's the most badass Iris we're ever going to see.
So I guess the shapeshifter doesn't pick up their powers, though, because he was Barry, but he wasn't running.
I was a little bit confused. At first, they said that he had to touch you, but apparently he doesn't have to touch you to change, because he turned into, like, Eddie without touching him.
Really?
He turned into people without touching him. Initially, when we saw him, he touched that girl and became the girl. Yeah. And so we assumed, and he did have to touch Barry. And then I was confused. Did he have powers? Because for a second, it was like a slow motion fight.
Right.
But as I think if he they both have powers.
But I think he was just running around him. I don't think he had.
And then Barry's
powers.
Like, oh, wait, you're not fast. Yeah. And then he just goes boom, 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 boom. Takes me.
I liked the when he was Barry. And they're having Barry play like a wise ass, so like the range of his acting.
Yeah, yeah, he was like asshole Barry.
Yeah, but then he kisses Caitlin, and then she kind of likes it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It was like bizarro asshole Barry.
And then later, like when she finds out it wasn't him, and she like reacts to him, and she's like, oh, like she's like,
well, she's weird around him.
Weird around him. Yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah. Like, it's gonna be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Shapeshifting again. It's like when you have a shapeshifter. All bets are off everywhere.
I mean, the shapeshifting thing, it being tied to who is Harrison Wells, him kind of shapeshifting into Harrison Wells. It's all like tied in.
You know, I think of like the Marvel side of Skrees and Krulls and the masks and just, it's always problematic.
I was thinking that like,
always problematic.
They stole the Everyman when they got the Everyman, I was thinking that maybe Harrison Wells like took a little bit of his powers so that in the future he could shapeshift and then come back to the present and shapeshift to other people. Like that's part, like they're using that power in the future, like that of that guy's, the Everyman.
Okay, you know, so there, that's an interesting point, because there was a couple of weird moments where I wasn't sure what's going on. The first part was after Barry defeats the guy and he turns and they're like, Barry, and he goes, the one and only. There was something off to me about that scene. At first I was like, wait, is that the other guy?
Nah.
Something was weird. Then when at the end, when they're confronting him and he's like, who are you really? Mm-hmm. And he becomes that weird bald guy and he goes, I don't know. Everyone is freaked out. Well, doesn't bother Wells at all.
Right.
He goes, oh, okay, let's go, guys. I was like, it didn't fucking affect him at all. Like, he knew what he was going to look like.
Of course. Well, he's from the future.
So all of this, I mean, this, so all this.
It's from
happened.
The future, and then what I'm assuming is he obviously is from the future, and he's weaponized that guy's power.
And I thought Eddie was the shapeshifter at one point when Barry shows up, and instead of the other entity running mm-hmm. off. But I don't know. There was some weirdness. I don't think we've seen the last of that, because that is a powerful weapon to have.
What did you think of? We went back to this being a crossover episode. What did you think of West and Lance bonding?
That was good. Lance needed that.
He needed that. It was a good push.
Yeah, because he's so fucking depressed now, and with reason. Mm-hmm. But you just need someone who's kind of in the same situation to be like, look.
Someone with a different perspective.
He's like, I know what's good for your heart. Go fucking talk to your daughter.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the only daughter you have.
But they're having a conversation, but they're talking about themselves.
Yeah.
But then they're learning about each other.
Yeah. It was really well written. Mm-hmm. So they found the real Harrison Wells' body.
Right.
It was covered with tachyons.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that
Caitlin believes them now. You know, I liked how she was kind of a holdout. It was kind of annoying. I hate when that happens. Mm-hmm. But now,
I told you she was like going to be the last one to flip over. But she flips.
She has no reason. You know what somebody brought up to me that's really interesting?
What's that?
And it was a friend, Kara. And girls notice these things.
Yeah.
Which is why maybe we should have a girl on the show one of these days. But she said that if you notice Caitlin's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Her clothes have been getting darker and darker, and her makeup and her hair has been getting darker.
Really?
As the season has progressed.
I have not noticed
that. She started out wearing light, and I kind of remember her starting out wearing lighter dresses, lighter mm-hmm. clothes, and she's like, as it's going on, she's getting darker and darker. I was like, ooh, that's interesting, because I could see them doing that and leading to her becoming evil, kind of showing her dark side and how she's becoming dark because of all this shit going around.
Right.
Or whether it has anything to do with the particle accelerator or not.
I'm glad now that obviously where the way it ended, everyone knows his secret.
That was a great.
Wells' secret.
The end bit was great.
The whole team now knows that he is the reverse.
Everything
flash.
Is out in the open, and I love how I was like, wow, nobody trusts Wells now. Yeah. Like this fucking shit is out. Only Wells doesn't know.
Right.
I'm surprised that Wells. I mean, I think if it starts right where it ends, he's gonna be right there going, oh hey guys.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when they went in the room. I thought he was gonna. Walk up and pull up in his wheelchair. Yeah. Like, hey, what's up, guys?
I mean, I thought Gideon would be like, "You're not Dr. Wells."
That's what I thought too. Gideon's
probably like telling Wells, "By the way, they found your shit, dude." Yeah. But they saw the newspaper. The suit was one thing, but they saw the fucking newspaper, dude. I was like, "Oh shit!"
There you go.
That was a huge oh shit, but great way to keep me interested and keep the shit moving on. What mm-hmm. is going to happen next?
I don't know. Obviously they're gonna fight.
Well, I mean, I know Oliver and Roy are in the next couple of episodes. There's gonna be some more crossovers going on.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll probably Firestorm. Firestorm's gonna come back.
And Firestorm. Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be great. I can't wait for the fucking all-star team up.
Do you have any other things you wanted to talk about in the show?
Yeah, no. I mean,
The episode, it was a fun, like the Laurel Cisco bits were fun. The Lance, Captain Lance and West bits were like endearing.
Did you feel like they're also adding to this rift between Eddie and Barry?
You know,
because for a second, Barry was like, I gotta go fucking go to jail. Mm-hmm. And this is all kind of your fault.
I forgot about that. And I think they added a more of a bonding between them because Eddie was like, no, you have to work within the law. You're not a kid anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's
you're,
right.
He empowered Barry to like work within the law and like find a way to get him out of jail the right way.
That's true. Oh yeah, there was that great moment. Barry, you know, he was so frustrated, he zipped him out of there. Yeah. He's like, look, meet me at Star Labs. They were gonna escape.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, no, you do this the right way.
I like doing like they
that was good.
They could have written more of a rift between them, which would have been, I think, cliche.
Yeah.
You know, them fighting having a rift over a girl.
Yeah.
But instead they bonded them a little bit. Which is a nice change of pace.
Eddie did help Barry understand, like, look, you got to do this the right way.
And Barry helped Eddie. Barry made it his point to help Eddie get out.
Barry was so stupid, though, when he, right after he goes to see him, and then, you know, he's met the shapeshifter, and then Eddie's at your door, dude, and you know, for 1 second, think that, oh, maybe this is the shapeshifter.
They do a really bad job, too, of devaluing Barry's problems.
Yeah.
Powers.
Yeah.
Like, when he confronts the everyman at the end, and they're, like, fighting, and, like, at first, like, they're, like, just punch him. Just punch him once. Just run punch him once and it's done.
What took so long?
I know, like, They have to devalue his power.
They physically battled for a while because he kept changing people.
Right.
Like, why is it it shouldn't take this long.
Should not take
why is it taking so long?
No.
You realize you could just run up and punch him and run away.
Run up, punch him, like super speed, punch him a few times, he's out.
Even if he looks like you, you know he's not you.
Right.
You're you.
Yeah.
Fucking punch him.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jose brought up in our last episode of the email. Like,
they why do a bad job of devaluing his
But it's because comics. So.
Because comics, so.
Other than that, no, it was a good episode.
It was more of a build-up episode
yeah.
for what's to come.
It's setting up.
They're setting up
the,
these finale. This finale.
I still
episodes.
Don't know what you know. Thawne's plan is now for all. You
no,
know,
well, he wants to get back to. We know what his plan is.
I mean,
he wants to get back to the future.
Yeah.
Back to not the movie. He no, doesn't want to watch that movie.
The second movie or the first one?
No, he just wants to get to the future.
Talking nerd. no, it's great. Like these people are in a world of shit now.
Yeah.
That I think.
Well, actually, Harrison's in a world of shit.
Well, but now
they know now what
now,
his
but now are. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
For reals, reals.
For real.
Except for Iris still doesn't know Barry's.
No,
Flash.
Iris is not.
But
oblivious.
Eddie told her that he's working with the Flash,
which was a nice compromise.
Which was a good compromise
on the secret. Yeah. On the preview for the next one, it looks like Cisco might. They're teasing again that Cisco
that vibrational
might bite the bullet.
Thing. Yeah.
Get vibrated.
That. Or does he turn into Vibe? Does Caitlin turn into Killer Frost by the end of all of this?
I don't know.
Man, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was good.
It was good.
Next show.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Jock and Nerd.
Next show.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Why am I saying it like that?
I don't know.
This is season 2, episode 18.
Frenemy of My Enemy.
That's a funny title, yeah. Frenemy of My Enemy.
Frenemies. No, it's just Frenemy of My Enemy.
Again, another great show.
You start.
Oh,
what
man,
did you,
dude.
Like?
Well, I have to applaud them for the structure of this, wherein they had the multiple storylines proceeding and they all kind of come together
like
and converge
yes.
in the last act, and it was amazing.
I
it was action packed.
I mean, if you have you want to go right to the end, right?
No,
then?
I don't want to go right to the end.
You
I
don't?
Just like the way these things set themselves.
It was
up.
like a mix of all these combustible elements.
Yeah,
you know,
and
mixing them all together to create bomb.
Because up until now, these storylines had been running concurrently, and neither
well, nothing was connecting,
nothing
really.
Was intercepting.
Yeah.
And boy, did it come to a fucking head though at the end.
Yeah,
I just got to mention right off the bat, we see Fitz. He got out. Remember. Where it left off,
yeah.
and they were like, how are you going to get out of the bathroom? Do you have a hair dryer?
Hair dryer, blow dryer.
You'll be all right, mate.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that? Oh, do we not get to see that?
No, we don't get to see that.
They just teased us with that?
Yeah.
How did
Sorry,
he get
man.
Out?
He used a blow dryer.
Did he?
Yeah.
Or did he just get out?
he just walked right out.
But I love that. I loved their escape for him, and I thought it was funny that the guy tailing him like runs into an invisible Quinjet.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
That was funny.
That was great.
I liked bringing Ward back in and having to work with Ward and everyone, all the ulterior motives that everyone really had for one another.
Yeah.
Was bringing Ward in, and I liked the way Fitz was acting. Like, every time he saw Ward, if you notice, he was, like, nervous.
So
obviously, because the guy tried to kill
yes,
him.
Yes! I mean, wouldn't you be nervous?
Oh, yes, for sure.
All Ward had to go is, hey, Fitz, how's it going? Yeah. And Fitz just loses it and lunges at him.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was
like Fitz
God
is
going
to be able to do anything to him,
poor
too.
Fitz, though. I mean, he understands. He's like, look, we need Ward.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you introduce Ward to these people, it's good. And we learned again, you can't fucking trust Ward sometimes.
No,
I mean, you kind of can.
Motive.
You kind of can, but you kind of can't.
They're
I
fully
mean,
embracing, too, that Ward and Agent 33 are just like a couple now.
Yeah, you know what?
Like
that was
and,
I like that Ward. I like, and I really felt that Ward does care for 33.
That's what I was telling you in that one episode.
Yeah, no, and you see it now. Like Ward loves Kara. Kara, mm-hmm.
Kara. I call her Agent 33.
Speaking of the teasing about the Ward, I think Lance has one of the best.
Lance.
Lance had a great.
Oh,
line.
Lance Hunter. Yeah, yeah.
When he was talking to Fitz.
Yeah, what does he say?
Where he kind of has the S.H.I.E.L.D. job description. He goes, that's the job description, mate. Expedient alliances with despicable characters. and I was like, yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, right?
It's like sometimes...
You got to deal with the devil sometimes.
You got to deal with the devil to get shit done. And I mean, they didn't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get Ward. They need Ward to have Bakshi set up a meeting with List.
Yeah. So they can figure out...
Or they send Deathlok with them.
Right.
So they can figure out... But it's a little bit of a double-double cross.
Right.
Right? What happens?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, Ward has his own mode. He wanted to... He has some sort of mode.
They just want to get to Strucker, and they're like, the only way to get to Strucker is to offer them Deathlok.
Well, they want to get to Strucker, but they also... want to figure out where the fuck Sky is, but they're like, we need to get Destructor because he's collecting in here. Well, he's collecting powered people.
Yeah, so we get that shot of poor Ethan from last episode, backpacking dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in a body bag in the beginning of the episode on a slab in a body bag. Yeah. And List is like, did we get anything from him? They're like, no. We're like, well, keep trying.
The Strucker stuff is obvious Age of Ultron references.
That was the great thing about this episode is we're
starting to tie this in.
Yes.
The movie that
and we realize
week.
That it's all about Sky. Mm-hmm. Everyone has been looking for Sky this whole time. Even Hydra, mm-hmm. even Real Shield.
Well, Hydra's not only looking for they've been keeping tabs on everyone.
Yeah, they want all the powered people.
Gordon, we were referring to him as Reader these few episodes. Mm. We don't know if he's actually Reader, so we're going
to
start referring to him as just Gordon.
I want
the
him
guy
to be
with no eyes.
I want him to be Reader.
But Hydra's been has a beat on him too. They were tracking him due to quantum entanglement.
Yeah, yeah, I wrote that down. They were tracking his quantum entanglement bridges.
Being at two places at one time.
Which is basically every time he popped in and out, they had pinged that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we got another one. Yeah. And they head that way, which is how they end up where Sky and Cal are.
Yeah. So Cal.
So how did they get there? This is great.
Cal is so fucking unhinged. So they want to get rid of Cal. Obviously, they get rid of Cal, and Sky's like, I can't just leave.
She's flipped again. I mean, she wanted to get rid of him, and now she's like,
well, she doesn't want him alone in public.
She does make a good point, though.
He's dangerous.
She goes, if we abandon him and he freaks out, those deaths are going to be on my hands. You know, I don't want that.
Did you see the Easter egg, Calvin Johnson.
That was great. They go, yeah. So basically, he goes, yeah, we're going to Milwaukee. So she offers to go with him to soften the blow, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
They're like, look, I'll come and visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to be here now, okay? Mm-hmm. And then get the fuck out of there before he freaks out.
Well, she wanted to like talk him down a little bit.
And so, like, he owned that building, he owned a business, he was normal.
He was a doctor.
And then she goes, Daisy Johnson. Yeah. Huh. I was like, yes, that was a great
geek boner.
She said Daisy Johnson,
but you can just the way who plays Cal. What's his name?
Kyle MacLachlan.
He just the way he's so unhinged.
So good.
He's
but
you
I love his mood swings because he'll go
so
from
bipolar.
Like I got ice cream on the mind to where he'll kill you and he'll just go psycho on you.
Right.
It's brilliant.
When he realizes that this is not what it thought
and
he thought
I feel
it would
be, bad for him this whole time.
He just wants to be with his family.
Yeah, so they get to the point where she's trying to leave and Lincoln's been following him this whole time.
That's what screwed them up.
And once Lincoln is an idiot. He shouldn't have showed himself because Cal's like, hold on, what's going on?
Right.
Where are you going? I don't understand.
Right, right.
And this is where all these storylines converge into this awesome fucking crazy action scene.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, that was great. Also, before we get to that huge action scene, this is where you kind of see that May is not believing in Coulson anymore, right?
Well, I think she does, but with caution.
With caution.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to figure out what's in this box, which is great because leading up to that huge action scene, Gemma is still like on his side. But then when they hack into Deathlok's feed and they catch the feed and they pick it up right when Ward and Coulson are standing
the
together.
The last thing they thought they would ever see coming through
writing.
Deathlok's eye.
Brilliant.
I thought that was great.
I wrote that down. Brilliant writing.
I thought that was great. Yeah, so, I mean, on the Gonzalez Shield side, Simmons comes clean to May about the real box.
Mm-hmm.
And then May's like, all right, I got this. And then so she spins it to where she tells Bobby that Fitz did this, really, and left us, and Simmons had nothing to do with it. Basically, they don't have the box. They're like, we need you to hack into Deathlok's eye. That was that whole storyline, and that's how they get to that scene at the end,
right?
The fight scene.
Let's just talk about that scene, because it's just so great, all those elements.
I mean, I love, but I do want to mention a couple things.
Okay.
I think we know, I like the little conversation Cal and Jiaying have about Reyna, that she may be the first precog.
Oh, that's right.
Inhuman.
Was that this episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just talking, they're talking about, was that this? Yeah, it was this.
Yeah,
episode.
It was this
I just saw that. But I thought that was interesting, like, because I think they talk more about that's her powers, is mm-hmm. she can see the future.
She got altered physically, but that's not really her power. It's the seeing of the future.
That's not her powers?
What?
That is her power.
No, that is her power. I'm saying the physical, that's not her power, really. She just got altered.
The physical got altered, and her powers are starting to manifest. So anyways, the last act was great, where mm-hmm. everything comes together.
I wrote down all the elements they brought together.
Yeah, here's where it all fucking
Sky, Ward, Cal, Coulson, Inhumans, Hydra, Bakshi, New Shield, Deathlok. Holy fuck.
Oh shit. They were all
involved.
Comes to a head.
Yeah. And was Bakshi playing everybody too? Yeah, right. He was kind of playing it off like he was brain fucked, like mind warped.
Well, there's the thing. I think he was brainwashed, and I think Ward like double programmed him.
Oh, to do other stuff.
To go make it seem like he was going along, but hey, you're really gonna do this when you get there.
Yeah.
I think he is brainwashed.
I don't think so. I think he was playing it like he was brainwashed.
They were brainwashing him, but when what? Okay.
But then, like, he came in.
Trust Ward, dude. This whole thing could be fucking set up ruse, but they were brainwashing him.
I brought this up in a prior episode of the Jock and Nerd podcast, but that's the great thing about this show now is that you never really know what the fuck's going on, which is how a good spy show
should
be.
Yeah, and they really fucked with things this time.
Yeah. And then S.H.I.E.L.D.,
So Hydra tracks the transporting. They get to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Bobby and Mac are like, we'll take a team. They're on their way to Milwaukee. Coulson and Lance, how did they find them?
Deathlock. Deathlock's infiltrated.
Right. Deathlock found where they were. They get there. Mm-hmm. Lincoln is there.
Lincoln's there.
So Lincoln and Cal start fighting. And then Hydra shows up.
Well, Lincoln and Cal start fighting, but then Lincoln and Deathlock start fighting.
Then Lincoln and Deathlock, I love how Lincoln was trying to lift him and he was really heavy.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, he references the Hulk. He goes, I'm a friend of Skye's. He goes, sure, and I'm the Hulk.
Yeah.
But he was like, why are you so heavy, dude? Like, and he slams him down. And then Hydra zaps them with that crazy power, depowering grenade.
Yeah. And Hydra has now Deathlock and Lincoln.
They go down. Yeah, they go down.
Well, they alluded to that earlier that there was an Inhuman missing. Remember? The guy that went on a backpacking trip.
That was Ethan.
Ethan, the guy
that was dead. Yeah. That they had.
Hydra had him for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hydra's been getting after these people.
And I think Gordon.
They want Gordon, too.
Gordon told Jiaying that, and she's like, I need to find out who these people are. What happened?
They don't know exactly where they went. Yeah, but they know that they're missing.
They fear that he's dead and missing. Yeah. And, you know, he's like, remember, she's like, I don't care why. I don't know who.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on to Hydra, and they're not going to be happy.
No.
So then Coulson and Ward, they're looking for Hydra, and Skye comes back. And then the best part, Skye's about to leave, and she doubles back, and she sees Coulson. And then this is the reunion you've been waiting for this whole time, and they run to each other. When what happens? Boing!
Gordon.
Oh, shit. Gordon jumps in. He's like, I'm taking you home. She goes, no, not yet. And another.
Oh, shit.
Fucking Cal jumps in at the last second.
Oh, yeah, he did jump in.
And so the three of them get zapped back, and Cal was not supposed to come back.
Cal's not supposed to come back, and he's not going to be happy.
Nah, because now he knows that there were some shenanigans.
They wanted to get rid of his fucking ass.
He could potentially just kill everyone in fucking afterlife over there by getting pissed.
He might kill Jiaying.
They need to lock him down in that room right away.
Yeah.
Because now he's going to know that she lied to him.
Everyone's been lying to him.
But then, and I love the line at the end where Ward pretty much recaps the whole thing. He goes, Deathlock's down. There's power people on site. Hydra's storming the building. May shows up and Lance gets shot in the side.
Who did he shoot? Who shoots him?
Hydra. He gets shot by Hydra. Oh, yeah, that's right. And then 33 backs him up.
Mm-hmm.
Their only backup is Fitz. He goes, you're called boss. And what does Coulson do? It's kind of smart. He really didn't have a choice.
Turns himself in.
What
happened to Ward and Agent 33 at the end?
They were there with him.
Oh, but they didn't turn themselves in.
No.
No.
They probably took off. And then Coulson says, I double back. I waited for Hydra to leave.
Yeah.
And I double back. And he got...
It's a good cliffhanger.
By the way, Bobby and Matt get there way late.
Yeah.
Like, really? It took you this long? Get the fuck here? Everything's over.
Not everyone can teleport like Gordon.
That's a good point. I was like, it's all done. You guys are a little bit
late. Was a good cliffhanger. I was like, by the end of that, I was like, oh, he's fucked. He turned himself in. I guess he had to.
He had to. To protect the other people. He's like, look, you want me? Here I am. Yeah. Let's do this. Which is good because I miss Edward James almost.
So we'll
want him to be like, Phil, I'm disappointed in you.
Well, we're going to get this episode, and I'm sure it's going to directly tie into Age of Ultron.
Well, there's one more, and then after Ultron, and then another episode.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And there's a 2-hour season finale.
Oh, yeah.
After Ultron, I think.
Of course, it's after Ultron.
So it's going to be a long show. That's going to be a long podcast for us.
It's okay. We do long podcasts.
Because this is, I think, what episode is this? This is...
Cool. Scroll up. Let's see. Oh, I don't have it here.
18. Yeah.
18. So, and 19, seasons usually run 23 episodes.
22 or 23. So there's one two-hour finale coming.
So maybe that'll be 22 episodes.
Yeah. Wow. There's still a lot of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. left and Ultron.
And Ultron. And if it's anything like how they tied it into Winter Soldier, it should be a good time.
Oh, it's going to be... Oh, yeah. That was brilliant. And I love... it's going to be a fun ride, man.
Yeah.
They're gonna. I hope they reward us well.
Yeah, they've done a lot better this season. So
yeah, it's been good. That's a solid episode.
Yep.
Jockey Nerd.
All right, now last show,
Arrow
this week.
Arrow.
What are we on? Season 3, episode 20.
The Fallen.
It's called The Fallen.
Yeah. Let's start with the... Because this episode was basically a flashback, and let's get Thea to the Lazarus Pit and cure her.
Yeah, which
so
is...
So that he can become...
They stretched that out. It was good.
Yeah, but they stretched it out.
But man, they took their time.
It's a pretty one-note episode.
I agree. Let's do the flashback first. Because it was short, and I don't know about the flashbacks this season. What are your thoughts? They've been... not giving us too much advancement.
No, he's been in China for... He's just been in China, and now they're like trying to stop this bioweapon from getting...
He's in Hong Kong, so...
They're doing a very bad job of getting a bioweapon not fired.
Oh, my God. They're kind of incompetent in these last few flashbacks.
What did you say? It's a lot of shooting and missing?
So, yeah, that was the one scene. They're trying... You know, they see them arming the bioweapon. It goes in the truck. Oliver gets a car. They're chasing the truck down, and there was a lot of just shooting and missing. They weren't that far from the truck.
No, I wrote down exactly...
They were very close.
Okay, first off, they're shooting at the car. Did Ollie steal a bulletproof car? Because there's no bullet holes on the car.
Yeah, nothing's hitting the car. Or going
How is
the
he not dead, slowly climbing out of a sunroof as they're firing machine guns at him?
It was very...
it was terrible.
It was old school James Bond for me. You know
where
how,
no one can shoot accurately?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know how in James Bond, there's a lot of shooting and missing and just willy-nilly. And I'm like, the guy's 50 feet away with an automatic weapon and you're on a truck, you can't hit anything?
No.
And then...
you obviously can't. They've got a lot of cockeyed guys up there.
And then, you know, Maceo takes two shots. One guy goes down,
of course.
But then eventually, Ollie gets on the truck and he realizes that
the weapon's
not there. And Katana awesomely interrogates a guy with a knife to his groin. Yeah. Sword to the groin interrogation, which is always effective. He gives it up right away. He goes, food truck! Is it a food truck? Yeah. Oh, God, please. So, again, they find this food truck in a crowded marketplace. More just shooting without any regard for innocent people.
Innocent people aren't dying either.
Kids, old people, nobody's getting hit.
No one's getting hit.
Plus, if you have something that's as delicate as a bioweapon in a glass vial, do you really think shooting at the person holding the vial is the best way to stop that from being released?
Well, they're not professionals.
Because at the very least, he's going to just drop it because he's scared and it breaks, which is what ends up happening anyways, because these people are just bad at stopping things.
Yeah. Well, they're not ready. They're not ready to stop
So, whoops, Butterfinger Ollie has let the thing breaks. Everyone should be dead in Hong Kong. I don't know.
The only thing I liked is the Katana giving the speech to Maceo where she's like, we have to stop this because if we don't, then we just become a shell.
Well, Maceo didn't want to do it.
No. We're not doing anything. We're just a shell of a person.
And perhaps, you know, you could make a parallel to him in the present where he has a dual identity and, you know, he's trying to be Maceo, but he's also trying to be the League of Assassin guy.
Where he's like, I don't want to be a shell.
I just made that connection now.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You didn't catch that in the show? Yeah, he didn't. He doesn't want
to. He didn't want to do it. She's like, we have to do this. This is what's right.
Right. When he's in the present, he's like, I have to help Ollie because I don't want to be a shell.
And I knew that the flashbacks always do that. They always have a callback, and it's that part is well done.
Yeah.
So they've been consistent with these flashbacks. They've just been really slow.
They've been slow.
Anyways, the meat of the episode basically is, like you said earlier, is they're just getting Thea to the Lazarus Pit and healing her. By the way, who said that Thea was dead last week?
Did I say that?
I was going to cut the clip so I could play it, but I didn't have time.
I said she was dead?
I was like, she's dying. She's not dead. And you were like, no, dude, she's dead. I was like, she's not fucking dead.
You're right. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Huzzah!
Talking nerd!
Oh, shit. Yeah, see? And I should have cut the clip because I'd be like, let's go to the clip.
Let's go to the
but
clip.
I don't have fucking time to do all
that. No, I said it last week that she was dead and she's not dead.
You know, it starts right away. She's crawling to her phone. She ain't fucking dead. She's a fighter. She's going to be a vegetable.
Yeah, but she's not dead.
But she's not dead. She survived.
Before they travel to Nanda Parbat, the Felicity breaking up with Ray, I really don't like the love triangle stuff. I think it's just shoehorned in by CW. And the love triangle stuff for me is
it's
just not good.
It's CW. I feel like they resolved it a little bit though.
They did. No, I'm just saying it's just painful to watch.
No, Ray just wisened up and he goes, you know what? I realized that.
But that whole conversation where he's like, you don't love me, you love him. Like, it's just very, like, it looks like it belongs in The Notebook. Like, it's just, it doesn't.
That's the part of CW that it's contractually obligated.
They have to have love.
Some fucking mushy conversation has to happen at least once.
And the girl always has to like be written to like fall in love with the two superhero guys.
Of course.
Like, she can't just be like, you know, she can't just fall in love with one. She's got to fall in love. She's got to fawn over both.
So Ray pretty much goes, you know what? It's cool. Go. Yeah. And then what happens next?
They borrow his plane.
That's when that happened, is she needed the plane to get to
Nanda Parbat. Yeah. But then they take Theo over and she gets thrown into the pit.
That was awesome, dude.
Change her soul.
Who's that woman, by the way?
I don't know. Some random
woman. She was chanting some shit.
I thought she was, I think I had a theory.
Is it Mrs. Ra's al Ghul?
I thought she was Talia.
No, she's too old to be
Talia. She's not Talia.
Talia, I don't like, think it's Nissa Mrs. is like a Talia.
Yeah, she's not Mrs. Ra's al Ghul.
I think she's gonna throw a wrench in the works at some point. Like, who the fuck
really?
Is this lady?
You think there's this lady that important? They haven't even named her.
I know. I don't think it's by accident. She's gonna play a role.
Well, you were right about the Thea not being dead. So
yeah,
I guess
she's gonna fuck some shit up. And I love how they get there, and he's like, "Welcome home, Al-Sahim, heir to the throne." I think that means either means the vigilante or it means
It means heir to the throne. Heir to the demon.
Heir to the demon.
Yeah,
or it means heir.
Heir to the
I'll
demon.
Have to look it up. That is some kind of Arabic.
Yeah, you're the you speak Arabic, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm saying.
Oh, that's fine. Well, you don't speak it.
I can read it. I don't know what I'm saying.
If you want to look at the last episode, you can learn about Arabic.
I got a link in the show notes. show notes.
That's episode 6.
Yeah, that was 6.
We're on 7 right now, right?
You go to jockandnerd.com/7 for show notes for links of what we talked about today.
So. What'd you think of...
Dude, I thought Thea had... I was like,
oh shit.
Does Thea have powers now? Like,
that's
the way
I was
she
thinking.
Leaped out of there was like Spider-Man or some fucking monkey
thing. That didn't make
any
sense either, right?
Yeah.
How the hell do you leap out of water?
And then she was like barking at him and growling like she was in the Ghostbusters. Like, she was one of the fucking gatekeeper in the Ghostbusters. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah, you remember watching Batman Under the Red Hood, that movie?
Oh, yeah,
when Jason Todd gets thrown in the Lazarus pits and comes out insane?
Yeah.
That's what I thought they were going to do with Thea.
Yeah,
I
think
sane.
Well, they say so that, you know, they said that it makes you the opposite. You know, Malcolm was hesitant to put her in there.
Well, then Roz was like, the confusion will pass.
Yeah, and it's temporary, and we see that. So, you know, she comes out really aggressive and just feral.
Yeah,
and then she wakes up and she's like back in time.
Yeah,
she thinks Ollie's still dead. She thinks her mom is alive.
Right,
and she goes, "I love you, Daddy."
And she thinks that didn't make sense though either, because she thought she was back in time. Back in time, she didn't know Malcolm was her dad.
That's a good point.
So
you know what? It's the Lazarus Pit. It'll pass.
Lazarus Pits.
It'll pass.
Lazarus Pits.
Lazarus Pits. And then, and sure enough, she does revert back to her old self.
A little bit, yeah.
It's kind of funny.
She's still a little confused at the
end. But she hates her dad, and she knows, you know, what the deal is. Well, at that point, he tells her that Oliver sacrificed himself.
He did.
For her.
He did.
Basically.
What's wrong with your phone? Low battery?
Low battery.
Okay, whatever.
Dismiss
that shit.
Talking nerd!
But they tried to, like, Felicity makes a stand in this where she, like, threatens.
That was kind of funny.
Roz.
I was like, really? You're going to walk up to Roz and be like, I'm not going to let this happen. What are you going to do?
Then, like, he, like, tells her to, like, that he never got a chance to say goodbye, so she should say goodbye to Ollie, and then she decides to bone him.
Yeah. Olicity fans must have lost their mind.
Everyone was losing. All Olicity fans are going nuts because they're finally getting
it in. It happened. Oh, shit. And
geek boner.
It happened. It was pretty hot. It was pretty hot. And then the next day or the next whatever later,
the
not
next
the next day,
day no,
hours man. Later, they're, you know, they're drinking a toast and Felicity has drugged him.
Yeah. Just take
so
him
that
out.
She could take him out forcibly. And then I'm like, did she seduce him just to drug him?
Mm.
Or was that going to happen anyways?
I think that happened anyways.
Or because...
It could be a little both.
I love that line where she's like, that happened.
Yeah.
Right. And then she drugs him.
That one when they're escaping, right? And they're going through the catacombs. Or they're trying to get down to the catacombs and they're about to fight like these League of Assassins members. And then Maceo shoots like three of them. How the fuck did Maceo know that they were going to escape and he had to help them at that exact moment?
I don't know, but it was needed to be done for Maceo's sake. We needed to see help.
We needed to see that. I'm just saying, like, Maceo had no idea they were going to try to escape.
Well, because Thea goes, or Ollie goes to Malcolm. He goes, "You should know someplace to get out of here."
Oh, no, it doesn't.
No, Felicity says that.
Yeah, you think Malcolm and Maceo plotted this? No, Maceo was just standing there at the fucking door.
You know how he knew? Because the League was there. So
what do you mean?
The League was in the catacombs trying to stop them.
No, they weren't. They didn't know. The League didn't know they were trying to escape.
Well, then who did he shoot?
He shot League members, but they were like, the League didn't know.
Well, they were just hanging out in the catacombs.
Yeah. They didn't know, and he just was like, "Oh, go. I don't want to be a shell. I'm Maceo now."
Yeah.
I'm back to being Maceo.
That was just for
It was just convenient.
Yeah.
It was just convenient, right?
That's a good point. How did he show up there? But it's important later when, you know, after Oliver suddenly wakes up. That part was cool.
Yeah, he
where he's
himself.
Like, "I am El Saim, heir to the throne. Yeah. You will stand down."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Tell Raz I'll be right back. I'll be back in a couple minutes. I'm going to walk him out."
I'll walk him out.
All right? So he does. He walks him out.
He does walk him out.
And that's rough for them.
Those scenes with Felicity and Diggle were done well.
Yeah.
They're like saying goodbye to him.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it's not going to be goodbye.
You know, I feel like Ollie, you know, he banged her because he knew. He's like, "You guys are leaving. I'm going to be
course.
Here."
Of course. He might as well get it in. He's not going to bang anyone else for the rest of his life.
Yeah. It's like, if I got to do this.
It's a lot of casturbating.
Casturbation. You think Oliver could do a podcast from the League of Assassins? I think they get good Wi-Fi in that castle.
I don't know. They use a lot of torches and stuff to light things. Well, you know what's funny though about that? They're like in this secluded area, but then they have these like high tech bows. Did you notice the bows? They're not like wooden. They're like professional archery bows. Yeah.
Where do you get those?
Where the fuck do you get those?
You think there's a Dick's Sporting Goods down the street?
Probably.
Yeah, does Amazon deliver by drone?
Where are their resources? Like, how do they make money? The League. You think they have just gold lying under that?
You
temple?
Know what? Is Oliver gonna have to like take over the books too? Is there an accountant? That's a good question.
Right.
Who handles the books for the League?
What the hell?
It sounds like it's more of a headache now. I don't know.
Yeah, should he be in the League, the Ra's al Ghul now?
So I love the bit at the end where Maceo, you know, Ra's is like, "Who helped you?"
Yeah.
Maceo's like, "It was me. Here, I offer you my head."
Mm-hmm.
Ra's is like, "No, you
know
what?
That was Maceo.
That was your old life slipping through." Yeah. It's very interesting, this duality that they're
trying to purge the duality.
Yeah, and so he goes, "I'm going to need you. You're very useful." And then he turns to Oliver. He goes, "Oliver Queen must be extinguished."
Yeah, you're not Oliver Queen.
We have
anymore.
To forget.
You're
El
Saim.
You're not Ra's. You're the heir, El Saim. And I gotta admit, he looks fucking badass in that black archer outfit.
He does look cool.
Oh my God, he looks awesome.
I like this episode because obviously
how about the branding, dude? They branded the shit out of him.
And you notice that brand?
That's a symbol
in the credits. Yeah.
That's the League of Assassins symbol.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah. I like that they're moving Ollie's character forward, and he's got a new kind of adventure now. He's not just sitting in his sister's club's basement fighting criminals in Starling City. He's got a new thing going on.
But where is this? He can't be the Arrow ever again. How's he going to be the Arrow now?
That's why that question is exactly why this is a good thing.
Yeah.
It changes things.
But at least he gets to go back and arrow people as
a dark archer.
As a black arrow. Whatever. Blarrow?
He's a Blarrow.
Is he Black Arrow? Black Arrow? Is it like Black Adam?
But it looks
Black
good.
Bolt?
I don't know. I really don't know how this is
going
to turn.
Right? I don't know where it's going, man. They said they're going to do some crazy shit by the end of this episode and to start next season.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good, though.
Do you think he fights Ra's later at the end? He has to, right?
I don't.
But then they're not building towards. I don't know. I have no
Ultimately,
idea.
Ultimately, at the end, he's going to have to return his arrow and returns his Ra's.
Or he just gets rid of Ra's.
I mean, if they really want to fuck things up, they kill Ra's and he becomes both.
Yeah, he becomes the new Ra's.
And Green Arrow. And has
That might be how this ends.
I would love that. And then he just has the League of Assassins as another arsenal piece of weaponry.
This is a different comic and storyline altogether, but Daredevil at one time took care of Kingpin and became the Kingpin for a little bit.
Did he? In the comic books?
In the comic books, yeah.
I think I vaguely remember that
storyline.
So, like,
putting the hero in the position of power as a villain is something that's happened before.
It's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, you could do whatever you want with these guys. Right. You could have them run around and hand out ice cream. And then that's their job.
The League of Ice Cream?
Yeah, they could be the League of Ice Cream Assassins.
The League of Overweiss?
You can have assassinate all vanilla ice cream.
Do you like ice cream?
I love ice cream.
Really? I only like vanilla ice cream.
Boring.
I know. I like vanilla and like some certain sherbets, like lemon sherbet or orange sherbet.
It's not ice cream.
It's not ice cream.
It's ice milk.
Yeah.
I don't even think there's dairy in there. I listen. I'd love chocolate.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like anything chocolate. That's my kryptonite.
Is it?
That's my weakness.
So if someone stabs you with a chocolate shard,
chocolate ice pick death.
You won't be. You'll be immobilized.
Almost the perfect death. If I had to eat my way out of like,
what's your favorite brand of ice cream? Do you have a favorite?
You know, it's all good. Breyers is pretty good. They got all natural ingredients. It's just a couple of ingredients.
Is there like dairy free ice cream?
There is. Yeah. It's made out of coconut milk.
Oh, is it?
You can get it at Trader Joe's. It is. If you're lactose intolerant, it's better on your tummy. And I think a lot of people are some degrees of lactose intolerant and they don't realize it.
Well, we shouldn't be drinking or eating milk regardless.
No.
Especially cow's milk.
It's a milk of another animal.
Yeah.
And then just stop and think that if every time you eat cheese or drink milk, do you get a little gassy? Do you get a little uncomfortable?
Right.
That's not right. That's your body saying, I can't process this. But you know what? This is not the paleo podcast. Because I could start a paleo podcast. We could talk about this. This is the Jock and Nerd podcast.
That's the next project.
Yeah.
The paleo project.
Let's wrap this up then.
Okay.
Jock and Nerd.
Jock and Nerd. I listen to a lot of paleo. I used to. I haven't.
Really?
I kind of stopped.
Well, that was when you were on your health kick. You're still like eating healthy,
I'm
right?
I'm trying.
You're not doing CrossFit anymore.
No, I got to get back.
So Imran used to walk around our office with his shirt off because he was doing CrossFit every day.
Check out these guns.
Check out his guns, yeah.
That is not true.
And he'd tell me every day how many box jumps he did.
Dude, I hurt myself a couple times.
He became such a bro.
I know. I almost jocked out. I love it. I got to get back to it. It's really good for you. That's just finding time.
Do you know there's a lot of people that hate on CrossFit?
I know.
I used to be one of those people.
You get hate on anything, though.
That's true.
There's a lot of people
that just don't give a shit.
They hate on us.
Whatever makes you happy.
Exactly.
You know?
And it kept me interested, and I wanted to do it. That's all I wanted.
You think people have enough time to hate on us?
If you have enough time to hate on us, God, you have a lot too much free time. Go fucking do something with
yourself. Out of our hundreds of listeners, there's people that hate on us.
At this point, I wish one person would hate on us. Somebody, send us some email.
Where are they going to send us an email?
Send us some email at show@jockandnerd.com. Let us know what you think, guys.
We would prefer, though, if you called us.
You can also call our wonderful voicemail line at 312-248-4376.
Because we'd play that shit.
It's 312-248-HERO. 312-248-HERO. We will play that shit.
Yeah. There's also Twitter. You can troll us.
You can troll us on Twitter at Jock and Nerdcast on Twitter, or just go to jockandnerd.com for all these links. Show notes will be at jockandnerd.com/7. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
I want proof that people are listening. Just send us some shit.
Well, there is proof. If you just look at our Libsyn, there's a lot of proof.
I know, but I want to talk to you people.
Yeah.
I want to get to know you one at a time.
One at a time.
Thanks for shoving us in your ear holes this week.
Yeah, that's good. It was a good time.
We'll see you next
time. Wait. You got to do the outro.
I always forget this part. Why? I don't know.
We always forget to do
this. Hey, I'm Imran.
I'm Anthony.
He's the Jock.
And that guy's the Nerd.
See you next time. Yep.